Yeah.
It's a short intro, meaning a short sermon. Where's your wife at, Donnie?
I don't know.
Promise not to do a Tadell on you again. Them cords just bug my feet. Donnie, in your work, do you and Bonnie do the same thing?
No.
You wouldn't want Bonnie operating on a dog, would you? You wouldn't want to have to do all the paperwork, would you? But your business runs, right? And it works out. And just because you guys have different jobs doesn't mean that the business isn't going to run. I mean, if you both did the same thing, who would do the paperwork? And if you did the paperwork and Bonnie did the paperwork, who would do the operating? Or who'd be taking care of the dogs? Do you get jealous because you have to do all the operating?
No, I got the better end of the deal.
You got the better end of the deal? You don't think Bonnie gets upset because she doesn't get to operate, do you? Okay. 1 Corinthians. Twelfth chapter. I'm going to talk about us for a little bit. This morning we had some pretty good testimonies, I thought, concerning family. Not only our immediate families, but us as a church family and as a congregation of believers. And that it was really neat to hear that, you know, Neva thanking people for, you know, helping her through a time that she needed help with. And that's what part of the deal is helping each other carry their burdens that they would be light in those matters. I'll just start reading here, and you'll understand as soon as I start if you haven't jumped ahead of me already why I asked Don those questions. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to start with the 4th verse. Now there are diversities of gifts, but not the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The operation of the church takes different people to do different activities. We can't all be a teacher. We can't all be the pastor. We can't all be the door holder. Although we don't have one, but several of us take... handle the doors as people come in. We all can't do the same job. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, just in case you don't understand that the Book of Mormon and the Bible say the same thing, let's go to page 775 in the Book of Mormon. Because Jesus taught the same teachings on both continents. And he might have used a little bit different wording so that people could understand. And this says the same thing, but it's worded just a little bit different. It's the 10th chapter of Moroni, and I'll start at verse 8. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. It is given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. It's not given to them to hold themselves up or for other people to hold them up. It's given to profit. To profit the congregation, to profit the body of Christ. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and again to another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits, and again to another all kinds of tongues, and again to another the interpretation of languages and of diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally according as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. The same thing. I go back to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is comparing the actual body to the spiritual body. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We as a body of Christ, as a congregation, says what it says here. There's a lot of us, but we're all one body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There shouldn't be a division among us. Each one of us should care for the other. And we can't, like I said earlier, we can't all do the same job. We can't all be shepherds of the flock. If we were, who would be the flock? We would all be up here. There's not room enough up here for all of us. And then who would be the listeners? If we were all preachers, who would be out here listening? We would all be up here preaching. If it was all at once, boy, wouldn't that be a terrible clatter? That definitely would be the foolishness of preaching. But we're not. We have different gifts given to us. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Let's go to page 259 for a second. I read verse 26. If one of us is suffering, we should all be suffering with him. Not in the same thing, like, if I got stabbed in the arm, it's not like everybody should go around and stab themselves in the arm. But if I'm hurting, I might need some help carrying my burden. As a matter of fact, where was I going? Page 259. I had a tree that I didn't like in my front yard, so I cut it out. It wasn't a real big tree. I don't know. What's that? That's about how big the trunk was. It had a fairly decent taproot on it, but I don't have any big equipment to pull it out with. And I knew that there were going to be roots all over the place going out into the ground, so I took this... I tried doing it with a regular spade, digging out around the roots and stuff. That didn't work too well, so I took one of these little bitty garden shovels. It's about this big, and I was down on my hands and knees, and I was, since I'm right-handed, I was using my right hand. And I was digging around those roots and everything, and it was probably 4 or 5 hours that I had to dig around those roots to get to where I could get my chainsaw in there to cut them out. Well, my wrist got really hurting, and it swole up pretty good. And part of the body was hurting. And it was hurting pretty bad. And I started thinking about what Paul says about the body and the members in particular. And if I could give that wrist some rest, it was great in the morning, but by mid-morning, it was hurting real bad. So I'd have to try to do things left-handed, which didn't work out real well because I'm not a left-handed person. But yet, I needed to take up the slack. This part of the physical body had to take up the slack for this part, which was hurting. And it's the same way with our congregations. We have people that are hurting at times for whatever reasons, and we need to pick up the slack. We need to help them to carry that burden. And to become part of this body of Christ, you need to be baptized into it. 9th chapter of Mosiah. This is Alma after he came out of being underneath a wicked king, King Noah, just to set some background. And he had listened to what Abinadi had to say, for he was preaching Christ Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Alma took it to heart. And he had followers that would meet with him in a wilderness. And he taught them the things that Abinadi taught him. And in verse 39 on page 259, Alma asked him a question. He says, "And now, as you are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before Him that you have entered into a covenant with Him, that you will serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you?" And now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, "This is the desires of our hearts." As a congregation, is that the desires of our hearts? Was the desire of our heart to do those things when we were thinking about baptism, that we wouldn't think on ourselves, that we would think upon others of the congregation? It could very well be that some people that are hurting have been ones that have been chosen to be in charge of a project. And what I've noticed a little bit is we don't have a focus as a congregation at the moment. We don't have a church building to rebuild. I guess things are cycling around from listening to some of the elderly people talk. Elderly elders, I guess. Because I've asked some questions. Because I've noticed some things that are bothering me a little bit. And I'm just going to be blunt with you about our congregation. We're getting to a point to where we're looking inward at ourselves as a congregation. And we're getting to be just a little bit nitpicky on each other. And we're getting to be a little bit snappy at each other. And it hadn't ought to be that way. And sometimes when you're in charge of a project and you're needing the help of those that are involved in the project, and if you don't get that help and they start being negative, it makes it rough to be in charge. I haven't particularly been there too often, and I have to say I wasn't there during theme camp. I had a wonderful committee that just helped out tremendously, and it was a major blessing. And those of you that are here, thank you very much. Because I didn't have to feel that way. Because the body pitched in and they helped wherever it needed help. If there was help that needed over here on getting the Sunday school part set up, people pitched in and they helped Paul get it set up. You know, it may have been in just a little way, but people helped out. And that's what it, and that's what this whole thing is about, is helping each other out. And we are a body. And at times we do hurt. But at times we are honored too. There are people in our congregation get honored, and we should rejoice with them. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Nope. Are all prophets? Nope. Are all teachers? Nope. Are all workers of miracles? Nope. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, we don't. We don't all interpret. But sometimes I have this is a fault on my own part probably, and I have to remember the scriptures the way that I've learned them and taught them. Because there are times when I see somebody that has been given a gift or given a work to do, that sometimes I think, I want to do that. You know, I want that gift, but that's not what was given to me. And I have to sometimes sit back and think, Mark, you're starting to covet that. You've got to sit back and remember that you weren't chosen to do that at this time. Somebody else was chosen. So I have to remember that. And I think we all have to remember that. Because sometimes when things happen within this building here, within this congregation, somebody may have a spiritual manifestation of some type and it comes across, and others say, well, I didn't feel anything. Well, I'm sorry. But maybe it wasn't given to you at that time to be given that knowledge or be given that gift or be given that manifestation that other individual was given. You know, sometimes that happens with callings. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a preacher or wanting to be a minister. I think it's a noble thing to want. But you can't take it upon yourself. You need to be called. And I'll just tell you, I have no idea why God called me. Because when I sit back and I think about it, especially when I was first called, I thought, Lord, you've got to be mistaken. Because I see other people that haven't been called that I felt like had a better understanding of the scriptures and had better communication skills with people one-on-one and better communication skills with congregations than I felt like that I had. But I know that He called me. And I know that He will help me do whatever He wants me to do as long as I realize that it's His doing and not my own. The Corinthians. That's why Paul wrote this letter. They were having problems. They had people that were speaking with diverse kinds of tongues, and it was a manifestation of the Spirit, but then it got to be a problem where everybody was wanting that manifestation of the Spirit. And it got to be a problem within the congregation. And it's basically the same thing that I've been talking about here. Sometimes there's things that happen, and others of us want it, but we can't. It hasn't been given to us. You know, it scares me to death to think about being a pastor of some church, especially a big congregation, because not only do you have to worry about your own family, but you have to worry about the family. You have to worry about the flock that's here. And sometimes you can't be Mr. Nice Guy all the time because you have to think of the whole group. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I've never been there, so I figured I better ask. Because sometimes you see things that are either coming in from the outside into the fold that can't be here because it will fester and it will cause problems within the whole group. And then there are times where the body may get a sore, or it may get a cancer. And I'm talking about a spiritual type body, comparing it also to the physical body as Paul did here. And sometimes when that cancer starts to grow to where the shepherd can see it happening, he's got to do something about it. Just like the doctors, when you go to the doctor and they see a cancer that you have within your body, they have to do something about it. Sometimes it has to be right now. Sometimes it can wait a little while. But what you do is you just don't go in there and you don't radically just cut it out right off the bat. You try everything you can with radiation and with chemo and with whatever other drugs they have out there to get rid of it. But sometimes what happens if all that doesn't work? All the things that we have at our fingertips in this day and age, medically, sometimes it doesn't take care of the cancer. And when I think of us as a congregation, as much as I hate to think about it, sometimes there's a cancer that gets to growing amongst us. And we have ministers that will go talk to individuals and they'll try to sway them, and not by their own doing, but with prayer and with the scriptures that we have in front of us. And hopefully they do it in a way that they can say, this is not only what it says, but this is how I see to apply it to your life. But sometimes all the stuff that we do doesn't matter. And sometimes you have to radically go in and you have to cut out that part which is cancerous. Why? Because you've got more to think about than just that one little piece. You've got a whole congregation. You've got a whole body that you have to think about going down and being inflicted with the cancer. And so, no, it's not an easy job to be a pastor. And it's not an easy job sometimes just to be a minister. But sometimes the rewards are overwhelming. As in when somebody comes to you and asks for baptism. That's the most wonderful thing I think can happen. Especially when you sit down with them and you start studying with them. And they're already ready. They just may not know it yet. It's a wonderful thing. So it's not all bad. As a matter of fact, it's good. I wouldn't give it up right now for the world. I definitely wouldn't give it up for the world. Being a minister. But I guess what I'm really trying to get at this evening, and I'll close up, is that we are a body. And when part of our body is hurting, we need to take up the slack for that part that's hurting. That part that's lacking, we need to take up the slack. The rest of us need to take it up. And we need to remember, this book of Corinthians was written in such a way that if you go on to the 13th chapter, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So that's what we need to remember as a congregation, is to have charity one for another. Is to look on the other person as if it was ourselves that were in that fix or in the dilemma. And we need to remember that we are a body. We are one body. And there are many of us, a whole lot of us, and we can't all do the same job. My left hand probably wishes that it could do what my right hand can do, because my right hand can do quite a bit. My left hand pretty much is useless except for holding stuff for my right hand to work with. That's about it. I'm just one of those people. Some people are pretty ambidextrous and they're lucky. They can use both hands. When one gets tired, they shift the hammer over and they keep going with the other hand. I have a daughter who's real close to being ambidextrous. She can write almost as well with either hand. Not me. Not me. So let us remember that we all can't do the same job. But what we can do is what God has given us, the gift that He has given us. And what we need to remember is that we need to have charity for each and every one of us. No matter if it's the corn on the little toe of your foot or if it's the crown on your head, we need to have charity for each and every part of the body. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. As I reminded you, grab a bulletin if you haven't already, particularly the young people, or maybe the young people know it, but note that change for this Saturday, which is the softball, and then the next Saturday, the 19th, is the study with Mark Hill. We're going to close tonight with hymn number 24, 2-4, and Uncle Nicholas, would you dismiss us in prayer?